Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Yeah, but Kiz, no. That means because obviously season one of PCS, you kept us saying some crazy things in there, you know?
Huh?
Did I?
Remember? Season one and two, we used to beef Kiz in the chat for listening through properly.
Oh, yeah.
That is true. He used to just be like,
guy,
yeah,
that's right.
It's got certain moments in there.
I used to gamble what it was right here. Every 2 weeks right here, completely fire. And, they got it now. The next week, bro, they'd be saying bad stuff. I'm like, rah.
Bro, there was one year and where, like, I was.
That was long.
Bro, there was one I was cussing Jason out so much, yeah. And then we all laughed and said, yo, cut all that bit out. You get
this is the funny part, yeah.
Yeah, cut all that. Actually, he fully left in there.
Bro, I promise you, I'm taking that one to HR. Let me know which episode that is. Taking it straight to HR.
It was crazy. I think I was next to you.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, right, my days.
Well,
now, where's Mo, man?
We are back in the studio for our second episode of the year. A highly anticipated episode as well, interestingly. Because it's a big year for superhero films and projects as a whole, one. But arguably, more importantly, it's a big year for Marvel. It's a very big year for Marvel.
Important year.
So we've got like an interesting trio of pod members. We've got a Marvel aficionado, if you like.
Yeah, bias,
in Jason.
Wow. Do you know what? That was nice.
Spun me there. Beyblade.
And we've got someone who I think feels a bit jaded by recent projects and releases from that same studio. Mm-hmm. And then we've got somebody who is very critical of some of the projects in recent years, but still has a love for the potential releases coming up in the next couple of weeks, months, and this year as a whole. So we are the Post-Credit Scene Podcast, firstly, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre, back in the stew. And today is a breakdown, a sort of a preview of Marvel's releases this year, starting with Captain America, Brave New World. Before we start, intro the cast. Hossam, how are you?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. It's my first ep back of the year. Thank you everyone for supporting the trailer and everything that we're doing. So we're gassed to be back. This year's gonna be crazy. We're gonna be announcing a few things. I think by the time this episode comes out, we probably would have announced our next event. So super exciting, guys.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a crazy year and a crazy year for Marvel as well. Also, I still think that the holdover joke that I made was the best joke of the year.
Jason, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all good. Yeah, first ep back as well. Excited to get into this one.
Are you?
Yeah, excited.
You're excited to get in your hater bag, basically.
Nah, never. That's more Biz and Manny's thing.
To be fair, yeah, that's why they're not
that's,
here.
That's their thing.
I think we've started to handpick our episodes for particular hosts a bit more carefully for season four, because some people are just not on the Marvel train at this moment in time. And that's their job, to win the audiences back. Mm. I was just saying in our last episode, actually, that the big thing for some of these big blockbusters and comic book sort of origin-based stories and films is your audience, your core audience will always be there. For your film to be a success, you need to have the people that just generally don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But you need to be able to earn their trust.
Facts.
Whether it's through press runs, whether it's through trailers, whether it's through previous releases. And I don't think that's been the case.
Bro, what's funny as well, yeah. Do you remember, like, at the start of the Marvel, like, phase one, two, right? Like, critical acclaim or critical reviews of these films wasn't really a big thing, okay? Because the core audience was so big that it was like, it's come. Bro, there's films like Thor, Dark World, and Iron Man 3, and, like,
that's been, like, panned critically as well.
Yeah, like, but people didn't care. It was like, yeah, nah, it's calm. Whereas now it's the complete opposite. It's like the core fans are there, but because of the amount of money and the influence that they've made, every film now is like, this has to be a movie.
It's under huge scrutiny.
Yeah, this has to be, like, critically, like, it has to be so well written, blah, 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 etc. Whereas, like, they can't do the usual superhero formula now. They set the standards so high. It's the messy effect.
No, I think, yeah, I think you probably much put it perfectly there, because like ever since the first Avengers film came out, right, it was kind of like a cultural moment, a cultural shift within kind of like, at that point, I think we've said it on like pods beforehand, like superhero films weren't taken as seriously. That's why we,
especially Marvel, by the way,
and we kind of like gave it, like, barred like the Dark Knight, and I would say like the original trilogy of the Superman back from like the 80s, 70s,
and probably Toby
even then that was like a special exception to the rule at the time. And then, so you know, but superhero films weren't seen as serious, but then ever since the first Avenger, and obviously they've had like this insane run since. Like, we
deeper that first Avenger film, the films that led up to that film, you could arguably say one of them was really good, like Iron Man 1. And then other than that, bro, Hulk flopped, right? They literally changed the Hulk.
I still don't think that
Hulk flopped.
Should be part of the universe.
Thor 1 isn't good. It's not a good film.
Thor 1 is a bad film.
Thor 1 is...
Those two.
Two is horrible.
Thor 1 was all right.
Yeah, but it's... I guess. At the standard that we see now... It's so childish. Like, it's proper childish, okay? And then you got Captain America 1, which, again, after years, is better. At the time, awful film.
Yeah.
So boring. Cap 2 is obviously 20 times better, right? Do you know what I'm saying? But
it's one of the greatest ever.
Facts. But Cap 1...
Come round on that. Like,
yeah.
Come round? Where you been?
Nah, it's not that I'd never... It's not like that I never rated it or anything. I always rated it, but, like, I thought to myself, like, is it as good as you guys are saying?
But like, in theory, those films shouldn't have gone to an Avengers film and been done that well, in theory, okay? Mm. Because each of them weren't, like, massive critical successes. But it's just the theory of what was happening. It hadn't happened before, you know? So it was like, oh, wait a minute, you're not only going to get these... massive superhero characters together. It's also, you're gonna get these massive actors to agree to be in a joint project from separate films. And that's crazy. Do you know what I'm saying? So it was a reliance on the fans, but also a reliance on the cast as well.
Which leads us into, I guess, our first sort of talking point of the day, which is the impending release of Captain America: Brave New World, which has a lot hanging on it for different reasons. Like, there's a large sort of social and political angle to this film, which we'll get into for sure.
Savvy.
And then there's the sort of the history of Captain America within the realm of the MCU, and how important that character and some of those films have been. So let's start firstly with just our anticipation for this film. How excited are you for Brave New World? Do you think it's going to be one of the better films for Marvel this year? Where do we stand? Hoss, you can take it off for us if you like.
I have high hopes. I have high hopes because it look, I was a fan of Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I just think it came out at the wrong time. I think the timing of when it came out was just a bit off. You know, we were in the era of like, it was when Disney Plus were trying to really go crazy, right? So it was like WandaVision season one, Loki season one.
Oh, what the if series.
It was
series.
It was that era.
About the film.
No. So it was like that era where they were just dropping bare stuff. But I actually enjoyed it as for what it was, this like political kind of feed battle, and then also Falcon obviously transitioning properly into Captain America, and then that becoming like a story in itself, like, you know, like, oh wait, like, you know, he goes back and meets, like, you know, the first ever super soldier who's black, you know, and then he's like, well, I wasn't accepted as Captain America because of who I am. Do you know what I'm saying? So I like the way they spun it and didn't hold too long on it, okay? Do you know what I'm saying? So I am very much looking forward to this one. I feel like it's gonna have what I hope, that it's gonna have a beautiful mixture of like a grounded Marvel superhero film, you know, almost like the same reason as to why we liked like the start of like Shang-Chi, right? You know, where, like, you know, he was just fighting criminal underlords, do you know what I'm saying?
Rather than like this, like, alien.
Exactly. Obviously, okay, we got there at the end. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? But like, I'm hoping that with this one, with Captain America, that, well, it seems like it's gonna go back to kind of like an Iron Man 2 vibe or Iron Man, even Iron Man like 3 vibe, where people completely forget that Iron Man 2, the government were trying to take his suits, right? And then they were like, oh, and then fucking Rhodey, he steals the suit, takes it to Hammer Tech. It was a very political thing, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? And then Civil War, a very, so, and those are good films. So I hope that this kind of carries that on with still having the Marvel spark.
I'm actually really intrigued by it because I think firstly it's coming off the back of Marvel just having a difficult period as a whole with some of their projects. Obviously last year we had Deadpool and Wolverine, which was a success in of itself because of what it was and what it did in terms of, you know, callbacks to previous films, and obviously it's two much beloved characters on the big screen, right? But previous releases have been sort of hit and miss, more so miss, I would argue. And I think also people have been a bit critical of some of the releases unnecessarily, like Eternals. I think Eternals was a good film. I liked it.
Yeah, I was going to mention it later on as well with Eternals, but I think one of the problems at the moment is that with Marvel and Disney as a whole, really, like, they've got a lot of people who hate on it. Like, I would say, like, there's justified hate or critique, I should say. I think critique is probably a better word for it. But then there are people who, like, critique it for the sake of, like, you know, oh, this film's become woke, which is one of the reasons why Eternals didn't do as well as it could have.
It's one of the most beautifully shot MCU films you will
ever. Oh, it's stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning.
But because, you know, the majority of the cast were women or people of colour, so to speak, and then, well, not so to speak, they are people of colour, but, like, a lot of people online, they're like, ah, nah, don't watch this film. Like, they're trying to push this agenda here, agenda there, and stuff like that.
It's because they're
virgin.
No.
I mean, nah, they are though.
No, but they gender switched, like, a few of the roles.
And that's fine. Like, look.
Well. Which also, like you said, it's perfectly fine.
It's, yeah, no, but that's the thing.
If you're going to do it well, like, it's do it well, fam.
My problem is, right, is that Disney has caved to some of those critique because they've come in such volumes where they start thinking, oh, if people are saying this is legitimate critique. Like, it's a little bit like the Star Wars problem where people hate on a character or on an actor so much to the point where the studio execs or the director or whoever's in charge of it starts making decisions in favor of that, which detracts from the
overall. So then do you think Auntie Mackie is going through that now?
Not now per se, but now the conversation has been starting to happen. It's starting to snowball, right? Because there's a particular TikToker that we quite like, Real Takes.
Oh, yeah.
Shouts out to the dog. Where he mentioned, like, that one talk that Anthony Mackie did about, you know, what Captain America means.
Yeah.
This whole quote about, like, Captain America shouldn't really stand for America, but he stands for honor, so and so forth, right?
Yeah.
And people are trying to paint Anthony Mackie as this anti-American person. But
Chris Evans said the exact same thing.
Exactly, exactly that, which I didn't know because...
Pull it up now, kids.
Yeah, pull that up right now. But, like, it's that whole thing of, like, at the time the conversation wasn't so much about this whole wokeness XYZ or this anti-wokeness, but now so many people are just looking at Marvel to be haters. They're just looking at these little things to be like, oh, okay, cool, he said this. Anthony Mackie, a black guy who's going to be a target of a certain subsection anyway.
But Chris Evans said the exact same thing.
But we all know why the conversation was
of course Chris bro, Evans of course I slightly like agree with you. Bisola was here she was saying that, like, when she showed her little niece the Captain America poster, her niece asked, obviously a black niece, okay, asked, yeah, like, which one is Captain America? And bro, he's wearing an outfit and everything. And then she clocked, like, wait a minute, she doesn't watch Winter Soldier and Endgame and da 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 da. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the universal standard of when you hear Captain America is some white guy fucking holding the shield, right? So actually, for us, it's easier to accept, okay. But for like a wider generation, okay, it might take them a bit longer to be used to.
And that's fine. I think that's fine, but it's just more so about, like, what conversations are we having right now,
or how, like, is he being represented?
Yeah, how is he being represented?
But the thing with Captain America in comics, and more so I guess in the MCU, which is the point of our conversation, Chris Evans as Captain America didn't stand for this whole sort of, he's patriotic in the sense of, yeah, he represents his country and he's very proud to be American.
Yeah.
But there was times in those films where he was going up against the US government.
Bro, yeah, bro. That's the thing that spins me.
And he does
like,
it in at least two films, if not three.
But three, bro.
He either doesn't listen to what's being said to him in terms of following instructions and orders, or he goes completely against the US government. In
fact, it's, and fights them, like, literally fights against them.
Civil War was the whole point. Like the fact
Captain America, they told him, yo, stay in yard.
He said, nah. That's like literally one of the reasons, like, funny enough, you know,
it's crazy.
You would expect Iron Man, who has always been like anti-authority, anti-government and stuff like that, to an extent.
It's a good flip, actually, to be fair.
Like, and they flipped that role.
A really good flip, yeah.
And like, why it's so crazy, because it's like, even within the films, right, Captain America has never been America first per se. Like, he's America first in the sense of the idea of America. America is always, you know,
but the idea got tainted for him,
of course.
Exactly, because he saw the reality of it all. Like, I can, like, and somebody, I can't remember who said it, but like, it's such a good point. Like, in the time of World War One, when America, Captain America anyway, kind of first came around, obviously the whole idea is going to be America first, because at that time America
is a marketing ploy.
But even perceived as the good guys, so to
speak. Yeah,
like, we are here to fight against, you know, the Nazis. Like, and the idea of America really fit in well at the time, you know, like, we're here to fight for the little guy, we're here to fight against fascism, and so on and so forth. And then when he does come into the kind of like whole modern version of it, sees like that half the government has been infiltrated by Hydra, which is an allegory for the Nazis anyway. Like,
which is mad.
He started to become disillusioned. So still very much for the idea of like liberty and freedom for all. That's literally America. And he still does that within those entire films, but he just doesn't have to do it under the American flag per se. And I just find it weird that people are now talking about Anthony Mackie saying like, oh, Captain America has always been America first. Well, yeah, of course, but that's just the idea of it. Not,
but I'm also very happy that
country itself,
when he turned into Nomad before Infinity War,
yeah,
right, okay, or during that,
yeah,
you know, with the beard and that, bro, you know, look, by the way, look fire, all right. But like, I'm glad that we didn't call him
Nomad,
whatever, they just kept it the same, like, he's Cap or blah blah blah, because it's like, it's that's it, like, don't act like he can't go like, you know, against everything. Do you know what I mean? And obviously he didn't even have a shield. He had that weird arm thing in between, right? So it's like, yeah, calm. Like, yeah, no, I was the whole point of that, and obviously I hope people don't come into this film with such apprehension just because of that. Like, that's crazy to me.
I mean, your problem is that's one, it's likely to happen just because people have their opinions and their perspectives of the world and of black people and of a black Captain America. But I think that's an also interesting thing about those previous MCU films with Civil War and Winter Soldier, that there's more to the films than just, don't get me wrong, some of those action sequences in those films,
oh my God,
are phenomenal. So the fight scene on the bridge with Cap and Winter Soldier, incredible. The final fight scene when they're on the, whatchamacallit, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, on the helicarrier.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. Crazy.
Cap's fight with Tony Stark. At the back end of Civil War.
Amazing. Cap's fight on the boat with Jean-Pierre, the UFC guy.
Amazing scenes, but the heart of those stories is it goes into the political, social aspects of those characters and what's the current sort of social climate, alongside the character relationships. That's what drives those stories. Bucky and Cap's relationship is what drives the film. Tony Stark and Cap's relationship is what drives those emotive action sequences. That's what makes those fight scenes so much more interesting and compelling to watch.
So true.
Is the heart of their relationships and sort of the divide and their differing philosophies. So for me, what Brave New World needs to be able to do is to find a way, I guess, to drive into the character of Sam Wilson, what's driving his character, which is likely to be a lot of race and social issues and political issues, alongside giving us a really well-made film.
I really think then that, like, Rhodey will play a key role here, man.
Is he in?
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
He's gonna be in it, bro. He's gonna be.
You're hoping.
Because obviously the last that we the last that we see of him, he was a Skrull for like 4 years. That was at the end of Secret.
That's blips for my mind.
Invasion. Yeah.
I blipped Secret Invasion.
Oh yeah. Wait. Oh yeah. Of course.
Bro, so he was a Skrull.
Rhodey at the time.
Bro, he was, I don't know. No, the real Rhodey was in some like Russian fucking lab, just like hibernating, fam. At the end of Secret Invasion, they found out that half the government are Skrulls.
Yeah. Secret Invasion was a bad project.
Secret Invasion was a bad project. Absolutely blipped out of my mind as well.
So, but I do think that Rhodey becomes that bridge. You know, it becomes that bridge of like familiarity because he's been accepted by everyone else. You know what I'm saying? As War Machine and as the political like bias. Like I just finished watching Iron Man 1, 2, and 3, right? And it's like he's a nerd. You know.
Funny if
he's fully a nerd, you know, bro. Like, he's
I don't know, it'd be such a fucking funny.
Hey, bring back Terrence Howard, fam.
So funny, just so unrelated, but it'd be so funny.
Bro, what's hilarious is he's actually very good in Iron Man 1.
He is,
I actually think he's very good.
He's out there with internal political reasons, not political. Political is such a
he asked more people. Full stop. You know what I'm saying?
Before we ever so slightly move on, the film or the sort of releases, trailers, etc., have given away that Thaddeus Ross is back. Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, played by Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. How are you guys feeling about his role as Red Hulk?
Upset, obviously, because obviously
William Hurt.
Yeah, has passed away. So rest in peace. And
He was a good Ross, to be fair.
Yeah, and he came back strong as well, man. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I actually didn't really, like, enjoy him in Hulk 2 stuff anyways. he was very much like, I love my daughter. Oh, my God. And it's like, okay, cool, man. Chill out, bro. You know what I'm saying? Wow. But, like...
Fuck him for being a good dad.
Bro, her boyfriend's the Hulk. Allow it. Okay? Like, just please. But he comes back, obviously, in Civil War. Mm-hmm. And... just even that sequence of him like showing him like, yo, you might have bundled up Sokovia and Nigeria, like, yo,
Lagos.
Yeah, Lagos. Okay. Yeah. It's like you might got a pad up, you know? Like, even that scene, I was like powerful. You know what I'm saying? Like powerful. And then obviously we see him again, like, you know, a few times. And it's dope. He kind of turns into this kind of like Nick Fury vibe, because Fury got too involved into the MCU. Like he almost became his own fucking superhero. Do you know what I'm saying? Whereas like for the first phase or phase and a half, okay, he was just a quarterback. He was there just being like, yeah, he go, ah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like whereas he got way too involved. Like even like right now, you know, we're still like, oh, Fury's he's probably gonna play a huge role in the next few films. Like in the few Marvels, he was all about him, right? So but yeah, super interesting to have him back as thingy and Harrison Ford. I saw the clips from Comic-Con and stuff, and he seems excited, which makes me which like gasses me, because it's like I don't want another Gwyneth Paltrow situation where like they don't even know what they're really doing. You know what I mean? It's just
okay. I will say, with Gwyneth Paltrow though, her excuse me.
White woman making you choke.
Yeah, like as soon as I said
God
that.
God damn.
Damn. I feel like her character wasn't Pepper, was it?
Pepper Potts, yeah.
Pepper, yeah. Like, throughout the film, she's never really had like such a, I can understand her disillusion, but like with Harrison Ford, like as
I'm not mad at her, by the way. Like I think she's a solid Pepper Potts. But I think if you're coming into the role at like 80, how old is Harrison Ford, bruv? Do you know
like
what I'm saying?
78 or something.
Brother is old, fam, right? Yeah. So if he's coming into a Marvel film at that age, I don't want you to come and do it for the peas, because in 2 years' time,
I mean,
you can just, of course, okay.
Wait, we've got kids, he's about to.
Go on.
He's 82.
He's 82 years old, yeah, okay. He's got to die at the end of the film. Surely. Surely.
Because more time.
Bro, he's not going to last 5 films. Do you know what I'm saying?
Knock on wood. Like, knock on wood, he is.
Bro, 5 films in Marvel is 10 years. He'd be 92, brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, but from what I've seen, he seems excited, bro. Mm-hmm. Like he said that like he read the script. He was like he felt like it was him. He came on stage done. Ah, I was like, what? But like it gassed me. So I'm hoping that that he does well. Fred Hulk is overdue though, so
yeah. Dan Carlo Esposito's in it as well. He's always wanted to be in a Marvel project.
Bro, even that, the excitement of that is amazing too. And we love him.
He's actually always wanted to be in it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So, I know some people wanted different roles for him, some people wanted Doctor Doom and someone, but it's just really interesting that, you know, he actually wants to be there. Which is cool.
And do you know, like, speaking of the Eternals, okay, like, I actually think that they're gonna play like a big role in this. So
really? What, in this film, or do you mean in this phase?
In this film.
Things that were left over from Eternals.
Okay.
Thanks, Siri.
Why are you calling
emergency services, fam?
MI5 is listening in. They're trying to pack us up.
They heard that I was trying to offer Harrison Ford, didn't it?
Yeah, they were like, yo, he's not going to last five films. Like,
all right, shout out to Harrison Ford.
Are you trying to do something?
No. Shout out to Harrison Ford. Incredible show.
Is there anything else we want to touch on before we move on to some of the other projects in the Marvel Universe this year? With Captain America Brave New World?
Nah, I mean, like, I'm cautiously excitement. Optimistic. Okay. There are a few kind of, like, internal reasons. Like, I've been hearing some stuff that a certain character is going to be in there.
In what?
In Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
And whatnot.
I'm hearing that Letitia Wright might make a little...
appearance. I'm cautiously optimistic. I do want it to be good for the actors involved, especially like Anthony Mackie. I do enjoy him for the most part, and I do think he's a good actor.
I enjoy him. I'm not used to him as Captain America, even though I said everything that I said. Okay, like, I accept him as Captain America, but I'm not used to him as that that role. But I'm hoping that this film changes that aspect, because we've only seen him as Cap for one series, bro.
I do think he's probably a better fit than Jeremy Renner to like the Marvel things. It's not gonna make much sense apart from one person in this room here.
Yeah, move on.
Okay, I just had to throw that one in there.
Cool. Jeremy Renner.
Quick one. There's a series coming out in March. Me and Huss have discussed it off the books, off the episode, if you like. Offline, I would use, actually. Daredevil Born Again. I'm really, really excited for it. Huss, do you want to tell us why you might be excited for it first? I touched upon it in the last episode because I did draft it in my most excited projects of the year. Huss, maybe you can lead this one because I think I've spoken enough about this series on the pod.
Yeah.
From dating back maybe from the Netflix one and then what your anticipation is for this sort of reenactment of that franchise.
Yeah. And do you know when like series is okay to take a moment in your life and you go... Like, I don't know, mate, if you're, like, unemployed or if you are employed and you just gassed up or whatever it is. I mean, that thing becomes your thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, Daredevil, when I watched it, yeah, I literally, like, remember being, like, it was a uni times, okay? And I, like, just be like, I don't have any classes or nothing to do.
I have nothing to do. And Netflix dumped all the episodes.
And Netflix dumped everything on me, bro, over and over again.
Pause.
Oh, man.
Hey, yo. Like, we were just looked around and just like, yo.
But, I came into it, okay, obviously, with the Ben Affleck in mind. I was like, this is going to be fun.
I think everyone had that same.
Yeah, right? It's like, this is going to be ass, you know? But then the trailer and everything, like around it looked dope. I mean, what I really liked, okay, is that we didn't jump into Daredevil immediately. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, like that first season, yeah, was such a beautiful build of, like, it was mainly focused, you know, around him getting his practice and, you know, actually, like, you know, doing his
black suit.
Yeah. It was super, super cold. And like the patience of that, we didn't see in many superhero series because you're so quick to be like, don't worry, he or she is a superhero. Oh,
you argue that's the luxury of 13 episodes.
Though. Oh, for sure. And it's also the luxury of, at the time, it being on like a Netflix, that we don't have this like obligation to Marvel or Disney, you know what I'm saying, just to get there in three episodes. And so that's also a huge thing. Like, I'm glad that it went,
I think,
to Netflix
as well. Just on that, like, what benefited as well is that it came out at a time where nobody was expecting any good superhero series. Like, we've had throughout the years, we've had like Smallville and stuff like that as well, but like Smallville, I wouldn't say is critically acclaimed throughout the board. Like,
we had the Arrowverse.
The Arrowverse, but again, not critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
People that like it, but everyone else is like, oh, that's all right.
It's true.
We got like like, dare I say, gourmet TV and Daredevil and like.
And Surprise TV, anybody, bro.
Yeah, Surprise. So, yeah, nobody surprise really TV. Expected it to be as good as it.
What did you guys enjoy about the series? What was it that made it sort of stand out from other shows of similar ilk or similar sort of taste?
The theme. Like, I'm so glad they picked like a grade. It felt like also a Sin C. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like they picked this grade, this tone, the shifts, even like all of the, like the cuts. Okay. A lot of the fights were shot through like doors and windows and stuff like that. Okay. Do you know what I mean? It was almost like we're getting like a second or third view of what he's getting. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it was so.
Even those action sequences felt realistic because it's not like Daredevil's fighting everybody because he's a superhero and he can beat everybody up. Mm. He takes
crazy punishment. Bro, he's getting knocked out.
And you see the repercussions of that when he goes to Claire's, for example. Mm. Oh, is it Claire's? It is Claire, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can see like he has to recover, and it's throughout the three seasons he's constantly having to recuperate and then go back out to save his city again.
Bro, what season two or three where he ends up being with the mixed race girl? Right, and she's patching them up.
But that's clear, yeah. That's the one.
Yeah. She's patching them up, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
and he's patching her up.
Yeah. Also, by the way, yeah, man saw a mad clip because it was like the Daredevil that we've seen on screen, has smashed bare things. And I was like, huh? And bro, like, he's on like six girls right now. Bro, he smashed Finn She-Hulk. That's a mad thing.
He's
funny. Bro, I mean, She-Hulk, hey, Karen.
I don't think him and Karen did anything.
Him and Karen did a thing, my brother.
But you can't say he ain't prolific.
I can't lie, he's a bad guy, though, because he stole Foggy's girl.
But facts. Bro, he's a bad guy.
He stole Foggy's girl.
Electra?
Electra's good.
Electra? Oh, yeah.
She's good milk, though.
Yeah, Electra's the good.
Yeah.
But in the series, let's focus. Yeah. I agree with you. I think some of those action sequences are amazing. I think back to the Punisher one in season two.
Yeah.
Daredevil's hallway in season two.
Yeah.
The stairwell fight scene. Uh-huh. Escaping from the prison.
Uh-huh.
The bullseye fight scene in season three in The Office.
Which
captures, like, their different strengths as fighters, because obviously Charlie Cox is... Daredevil is a close combat fighter, very sort of intricate in his fighting style, whereas Bullseye is very long distance, uses weapons, sort of whatever's around him to lethal projectile, if you like, to fight his opponents. Like, it's so well thought out and it represents their characters.
And
I love.
Probably one of the best built out rosters that I've seen, okay? Because, bro, it was like the series was already lit. Evan, they bring KD and Thingy, bro, and like cousins. You know what I mean? And it was like the.
You mean with the antagonist?
With the Punisher and Kingpin and all these people, okay, that end up playing these like massive roles, okay? It was absolutely like, and at the right times. Like, it wasn't put in immediately, bro. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think some people didn't like the Stick Electra stuff, though.
Huh?
I think some people were a bit funny with sticking electrons.
Maybe
because
not
they tried
necessary.
To do it with the hand as well. The Punisher, and
but I think with the hand, I think that was a good kind of like little breadcrumb, because obviously we eventually did then go into the Defenders.
Defenders followed season two.
Yeah, which I think was kind of like a decent way to
Defenders was actually better than a lot of the other
Iron Fist was trash. I think the first season was okay.
Trash.
I think it was okay. But like,
Jessica Jones was good.
Huh?
Jessica Jones.
Yeah. No. Jessica Jones was good.
Luke Cage started well, ended really shaky.
Yeah, it was just like, yeah. But I think at that point, because at that point it was already like, oh, all of the Netflix Marvel stuff is moving over to Disney and stuff. And I do think like it has caused a little bit of production.
It was a bit of a shift, innit?
Yeah, a bit of a shift. But nah, just going back on Daredevil, man, like, and you kind of like touching on it a little bit as well with the villains. Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin is, I think, up there for me as one of the best like villains.
Facts.
I've seen like Facts. His
board payroll.
Vanessa.
Oh my god! Like the way he like the
board payroll.
I don't like. I can't. I don't think I can probably put into words like how good he was and how much his involvement has impacted. Like the
think back to the episodes where they give you like context that explains why he is the way he is, dating back to his childhood.
Yeah,
that episode is dark, bro.
Yeah, facts.
That's the thing. Like,
facts. Episode is crazy dark.
It's dark. Like, the themes that it touches on and stuff like that is not what you would get from... I mean, no, it's harsh to put Disney under the bus for it because they haven't touched on something as dark since. And like that's
why.
Yeah,
but do you think that that's why they put out, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine? Because everyone's the same thing, right? Oh, it's
but Deadpool,
that's
not Wolverine, dark. But they're not dark. They're not dark.
It's not about it.
It's gruesome.
Yeah, like, no, but it's not about it. Like being dark. It's the fact that people have said that they're not gonna do something, and then they were like, okay, we're gonna do it, right? So I think this is the same theory. Right?
I hope so. I really do hope so, because like with some of the themes and I guess because some of it kind of like spins off into the Punisher series as well. Like,
yeah,
I think. I can't remember, it might have been season 2, like especially with the involvement of Punisher, like the effects of kind of like how dark it can get, like the, you know, the trauma and everything of few certain characters, even with Daredevil himself, like his trauma in kind of like growing up within kind of like the Catholic Church,
being abandoned
as well,
losing his dad,
the way he lost his dad as well,
and then finds out about Sister Maggie in season 3.
Yeah. Like,
oh, that's right.
Yeah. And in season 3, we also find out why Bullseye is the way he is. Like,
yeah.
I forgot who plays the character. But yeah, Bullseye was another great villain. I think I'm really excited for it.
Yeah.
Okay, before we move on, because we have spoken more about the Netflix stuff, do we think Disney, Marvel, can deliver? I don't want it to be the same thing.
Same.
Take the
same.
Best from that and make it
take
your own
thing. Yeah. Mm.
Do you think they're going to be able to deliver a series that fans are going to be happy with? Us, let's say we're the fans.
Yeah.
They're going to produce a series that we'll be happy with. And what do you expect from the series? You've seen the trailer, right?
I think, of course. I think people will be happy with it. I think the biggest thing probably is like a season 2, right? If it gets a season 2, then everyone's like, oh, cool. Like it's done well.
I think again it's like the whole Disney Marvel problem, because people have such a fatigue, it needs to hit the ground running.
No, this has to be a success.
Like, it has to be like such a good first season, and with myself as well, like I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, you have all of the elements. The only thing that does worry me is that, so I've seen the quote, and
I know you're talking about the showrunner.
From the showrunner. And I will say, I'm taking this quote out of context because I did not see the whole thing.
No, I've read it. I've got the whole thing here.
You've got the whole thing here. Okay, cool. Let's read it out. And
All right, cool. First thing he says is, there's more fun moments with these characters and a lot less nasal gazing than before. The earlier show at its best was fantastic. At its worst, it was two characters in a room talking about what a hero is. I felt it had been done before. I'm not taking swipes. I don't want to hear characters grousing about their lot in life. I wanted to see them do things. He also goes on to say that he thinks this series, Born Again, is going to take homage and sort of elements from The Sopranos and The King of New York. It's going to be like a 90s classic crime tale, which Netflix wasn't able to do. He said it's going to be darker cinematically, not necessarily story-wise, but it's going to have more darker elements than the original series. And he also said he sees the Penguin as their direct competition.
Says,
that's so weird. Has the showrunner seen those shows? Because that's a lot of
He works on those shows.
No, but that's
crazy.
It's a bit hypocritical, no? Because like some of the best moments within all of these
shows, he works on the Punisher
characters.
Yeah, so some of the best part of the
some of the best part of like within Sopranos, Penguins as well, is two characters talking. Rather than necessarily doing something.
He said, we're more grounded, even more stylized and more rooted in the here and now. I love the Penguin, but we're faster, meaner and cleaner in our storytelling. This series is going to have a scope that is something that a Disney Plus series has never done before. It's big statements.
Big statements, but also worrying statements. And that's the thing that I'm that's the one thing that's keeping me there. Because I'm sure that the action that we will get is going to be fantastic. But then are we going to get I do hear what he's saying in the sense of like, I don't necessarily need all of the time two characters sitting in a room talking. But like, that's where you get kind of like the meat of the story, so to speak.
That's what drives some of those great actions.
Exactly. It's what drives it. So like, it's a bit worrying for him to say, especially with the kind of like resume that he has and the things that he's worked on and the things that he calls his direct competition. But the things that make his competition so good is because you've got two people in a room talking about something. But hey, I don't want to be a hater before I've seen it. So like,
he swung the bat, man.
And if he doesn't hit the ground running,
I kind of like the confidence. Huh? Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Next up is a project which I think people weren't initially too hyped for until they saw the trailer, which came out last year. Right, yeah. Thunderbolts, Asterix.
Oh my god.
an assembled team of reformed villains and anti-heroes doing covert missions for the government. Florence Pugh will be back as Yelena Belova, David Harbour as the Red Guardian.
Yeah,
essentially. Wyatt Russell is back as John Walker, who I actually think was one of the stronger aspects of Falcon and the Winter Soldier was Wyatt Russell as John Walker. I thought he was really good. Yeah. And I wish they'd dived more into...
I disliked him so much, but
he's a great actor.
Yeah.
How are you guys feeling about the DC's Suicide Squad, Thunderbolts, which is, I think, due out just around springtime?
I'll be real, I don't know nothing about them in terms of like characters within like the Marvel context of it all. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm biased, and that's all I got to say on that, really.
The only L that I would say is that a lot of the Marvel fatigue or the Marvel critique post-Endgame came because they put out a lot of films and series that had like a deeper governmental meaning that was to build up to the Thunderbolts, right? The problem is that people didn't want that after seeing the most spectacular two films of all time. Okay, so you know, they put out Black Widow to introduce Florence Pugh, and then after that Captain America and the Winter Soldier to sow Bucky in a more like human level, right? And then you've got in Captain America, obviously you got Chris Thingamajig, wasn't it?
John Walker.
John Walker as well, and then the Amanda Waller. of it all. Okay, so like, there's so many.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we got obviously Ant-Man, three or two, the one with Ghost, right? So it's like. All of these films, were the ones that were like criticized post Endgame films and series that was like, okay, cool, is this like really it? And it was actually all to lead up to the Thunderbolts. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wish like it happened at a better time. I remember guys asked me in a game the other day, did the Black Widow film come out too late? And then I was like, yeah. And it's like, I kind of wish they set up the Thunderbolts pre-Endgame, and then I think it would have got such a better reaction.
Before the hype, I would even argue as well, like, I think the timing when it dropped in general during the pandemic, and like,
yeah,
it was out of their control. Like,
yeah, it was tough. Yeah. it would just catch up in it. Catch up. So I absolutely get it, but I'm so happy that people are now excited for it because the trailer is top tier. Florence Pugh is top tier. Like, the cast actually seem like that.
Our very own milkman over here, man. Gas.
Sorry, guys. Jason.
Sorry, my
bad. That's amateur, man.
my bad.
I'm really excited because it's a team-up film. A lot of team-up films don't really do too well, but I feel like this one's going to have a bit of a... I think it's going to be funny.
Right.
I think it's going to be... I feel like some really good action scenes. And then I also think it will tie into something else really, really well, because I feel like those, like, low-level... Not low-level, but, like, those, like, not Avenger-type films...
Street-level sort of thing.
Yeah.
Grounded. More grounded, at least, not street-level.
Yeah,
grounded.
Yeah. They can tie into things like Daredevil or things like Spider-Man or, like, things that can kind of, like, be attached to... neighborhoodly things.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? So and not always like Thor or something like that. So that should be fun.
Cool. Next up, probably the film with the biggest pressure on it for Marvel this year, scheduled to release July 25th, 2025. Fantastic Four First Steps introduces Marvel's first family into the MCU. Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm. Joseph Quinn's going to be in the series. Ebon Moss Backrack and Ralph Ineson. It's a cracking cast.
Cracking cast.
I was not a fan of it, to be fair.
Cracking cast in terms
Pedro,
of talent,
cool.
But I do agree with us here.
Like, the talent is crazy.
Right.
Do I think they're right for the role from what I've seen of them? I don't know. You get me? Like, Pedro,
well, we're gonna get
I'll take it on the chin, no problem. Okay, Vanessa Kirby, I fucked with her in Napoleon.
I think I last saw her in Mission Impossible.
Top 10 both. So, like, her being Sue Storm, it's fine.
Joseph Quinn,
That's the one that I'm shaking.
It's the one where I'm shaky, man.
Why are you shaking?
He's cold. He's cold, bro. I know he's in the bear, right?
No, Joseph Quinn was the last.
You're thinking of Jeremy Allen.
Stranger Things.
No, not him. Stranger Things.
Quiet Place.
Sorry. That's what I mean.
Quiet Place as well.
Yeah. Bro, he's cold. He's actually cold, yeah. But him as Johnny.
For me, it's the, like, for the Human Torch, like, he has to exude a sense of, like, arrogance.
I kind of
don't think Joseph Quinn can give us the arrogance.
Does it have to be what you've known it to be? If you've seen that iteration twice, three times.
I think
you've seen the same iteration of a character. We talk about this all the time. Like, we see the same thing with Batman and the sort of Rob Patton.
So he's gonna switch it up.
Bell, and like we've seen like the chauvinistic Batman. Like, it's okay for it to be a bit different. And again, that's just me even hypothetically speaking. He might have be able to deliver that, at least from a character perspective, if it's not like we don't see him as fitting the aesthetic of a Johnny Storm, right? Because we saw Chris Evans play the role, we saw
Michael B,
exactly. So I get your concerns, but I'm kind of like I don't mind seeing something different.
No, I feel like I hear where you're coming from, but I do think it's like if there are certain things that are a core aspect to the characters, I don't think they should necessarily be changed. Because I do hear you with the Batman thing, but I do think, for example, with Batman, one of the core aspects in general is that, like, so we might not get the same chauvinistic playboy, but we get aspects of it in who's my man?
Not with Rob Pat.
Not with Rob Pat, but that's because he's like year one. He's still trying to figure out who Batman is. This is origin. I wouldn't be surprised if within the next iteration we get a little bit more of a playboy aspect of
how
him.
Old is Joseph Quinn?
But
he's booked and busy this year, by the way. It's crazy.
Yeah. No. Like, again, this is no slight to his talent at all. Because, like, we've spoken about when we spoke about Gladiator 2, like how.
He was one of the best parts of the film.
One of the best parts, and how he did his role as.
He was.
I can't remember the specific emperor that he played, but like
he was really good.
Fantastic. But is he able to carry it? It's weird to say, because it's like, is his talent fit enough for a comic book story, a comic book type of arrogance within, you know, I can't remember his whole name, Johnny, or as the Human Torch, I guess, in that sense. And that's the only thing I'm worried about. But
Johnny Storm, though, isn't he Sue's?
How old is he?
He's 31.
It's a good age.
Really?
It's a good age.
That's a lot. Stranger things
is spinning you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
I do want to say one thing to that, though, real quick. I've just seen a picture that he did a shoot with Vogue. It looks like a guy that has arrogance. And I was originally with you.
Fair enough. Like, I'm, if anything, more than anything in the world, I want to be proven wrong, because the cast is stellar, of course.
And I do think that the one thing that's been missing through the Fantastic Four of all of the iterations is,
give a white guy a buzz cut, all of a sudden, yeah, you know, they got carried.
it's the Prison Break Theory.
Yeah, trust me. All of a sudden, they're like, yeah, oh, whoa, don't miss you.
I think that the one thing that has been missing in the first two or three iterations of the Fantastic Four is actually a Marvel influence, which is, like, a lot of time is the opposite, right? It's like, oh, you know, we don't want to do it. But I actually think, yeah, the lack of history and the lack of importance to what these characters, like, mean to Marvel, forget the MCU, but to Marvel comics in general, is so huge, bro. Like, they tie into so many stories, into, like, Black Panther, into obviously the Avengers, you know what I'm saying, into the multiverse. There's so many versions of them that run, you know, different things, like obviously the Illuminati, you know, do you know what I mean? Like he founded it, do you know what I'm saying? So it's like there's various things that they play such key roles to, and it's just never been done right, because they've tried to make it into a blockbuster film, right? Whereas I hope that Marvel just make it into a Marvel film, like make it so true to what these characters are. And they're actually, these characters almost act as like a house to the rest of Marvel,
yeah,
right? So I hope that's what we get. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, okay. I hope that eventually, because obviously I know this is set in like a 60s,
retro
facts. I hope that the first family become very close with like a Doctor Strange, do you know what I'm saying, who can help navigate the next phase of Marvel. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that Benedict Cumberbatch is fantastic, right? Do I think that he has the gravitas of like an Iron Man or RDJ? I don't think so, but I think he's almost there. Whereas I think teaming up with the Fantastic Four is almost like having like your own Avengers. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, yeah. So I'm very hopeful. I'm excited. The cast, like I said, Joseph Quinn's probably gonna prove me wrong, but I kind of wish that they went with like a younger, less seasoned actor, like even someone like a Tosin Cole. Give it to him. I swear to God. I actually think like somebody between ages of like 25 and 32, which obviously he is, but like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
I get your perspective,
but like, not
someone who would naturally be arrogant, but like a small bit of like a hindrance. But also learning from his mentors, like the older.
Yeah. Exactly. Of the team. Exactly.
I get your perspective.
Almost like how we caught.
Laughing. I want to know why.
Tosin Cole is 32.
Mad thing. But yeah, I said 32 though. But he's an upcoming actor.
But he's the same age as Joseph. Joseph Quinn's actually younger.
Yeah, but. He's upcoming. Do you know what I mean? He wasn't.
That's what he was.
That's my point.
Okay? I get you.
Like, I just think like how the MCU caught Tom Holland just before he was about to pop.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? And then they almost kind of like nurtured him into what he is. But yeah.
Cool. Yeah, Galactus will be played by Ralph Ineson, who I'm a big fan of. He's a really good actor. His voice acting could arguably be perfect for the role of Galactus.
Yeah, he's really, really good. I hope that Galactus doesn't lose.
Right, yeah, because you don't want him to come and go.
Yeah, exactly.
You want him to still be a presence
for sure.
Potential future projects in the MCU, that makes perfect
sense. Yeah.
We'll fly through the last two because they're series. Ironheart, I was actually really excited for this like 2 years ago.
Same.
The hype has died down.
The excitement's kind
of
gone, isn't it?
Because of, I guess, the Wakanda Forever came and went alongside some of the shows not being what we wanted them to be. But a lot of those shows previously didn't have showrunners. So I think Daredevil Born Again was the first Marvel show to have a showrunner. I think Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man also had a showrunner, Jim Cromel. I don't know if you guys have seen the first two episodes, but they're good episodes.
Yeah.
And they've now got showrunners on the shows.
Yeah.
They're actually making TV shows rather than short films.
Yeah.
Rather than short
which
films
was their old approach.
Relying on the strength of the Marvel IPs themselves. They were like, fans will love it anyway. So
whatever
we give them, we'll give them.
Ironheart, Riri Williams, Dominic Fung. We actually spoke to Letitia Wright about her 2 years ago, which is one of our like first viral clips, which was cool. And I liked the character in Wakanda Forever.
Me too.
I thought she was really cool.
She was funny. She was smooth.
Charismatic.
Like,
yeah,
really, really cool. I didn't like how quickly they progressed her in that film. But obviously, we need to understand that, you know, that film was clearly rewritten. Do you know what I'm saying?
And again, it had a lot riding on too, obviously.
Facts.
The passing of
Chadwick. But like, I don't think that Ironheart would have played such a huge role if he was in the film.
Same, I agree.
100%. Right. Yeah. So, but like, I'm glad that she was in it. I just think obviously by the end of it, she already had her iron suit, and I was like, God damn it, come on, man! Like, at least give her like a BTEC suit. But then like it wouldn't have made sense because she was in Wakanda. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
so it's like
they have all the
they're not gonna give her a dead suit. You know what I mean? So I absolutely get
I'm
it.
Excited, man! I hope they really delve into like the sort of young teenage genius prodigy.
I hope they re-delve into her and Spider-Man's relationship. That's a big thing for me when I first heard about this film.
But which iteration?
I mean, sorry, series. Huh?
But it wouldn't be, it's unlikely to be Tom Holland's iteration. Well, but hinting towards it would be fine.
But bro, don't forget, in the comic books, the whole story of it, was that he gets outed out as
Spider-Man. Thing.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, cool, Peter Parker is whatever, right? Now every single villain is like on him, right? And then they kill Aunt May, right? He's now depressed and blah blah. Tony Stark then takes him into Stark Towers, okay, to kind of be like, all right, cool, live here, blah blah blah, safe or whatever it is. And then in the meantime at MIT, Ironheart is in her dorm. She's building this like iron suit, right? And she's there for like 3 months. Professor's come over to his dorm like, yo, oh, damn door, bro. And then she flies out in this like iron suit. She tries to stop crime and gets like blown up. And she's there like, oh shit. And then Iron Man comes, saves her. And then he's like, how did you make this suit? And then, you know, find out that she's a freaking genius, right? Moves her into the...
In terms of the timeline, where's Ironheart set in? Because this would have been post...
Yeah, but like, then like she moves into Stark Tower.
Yeah.
And then obviously meets Peter. And then they become like...
Oh, he's talking in the MCU, I think.
Yeah. It's the same. But like what I'm saying is, that's in the comics, right? Mm-hmm. Technically, oh, okay. We've got half that story. Like the last that we see of Peter... Aunt May's dead. He's lost his girl, Mary Jane, right?
Yeah, they don't remember him.
At all,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? He's alone. He's literally alone, right? Like, what's to say that Pepper's not going to, like, take her in? Do you know what I mean? Or, like, take him in and then be like, yo, come and learn,
Yeah, I just can't see him being in a series. That's just my...
Yeah, like, his...
I don't see Tom Holland's already, like... He seems quite particular on projects he's taking on. And he also has been quite particular about making Spider-Man 4 how he envisions it. So I can't see him now sort of being in a series. That's not to say, if it happens, happy days. I'd love to see it. Especially because the two characters are quite linked in terms of their MIT connection, I believe it is.
Massive, yeah. Massive.
So that'd be really cool. Two young geniuses, if you like, who, you know, have garnered their own way in a sense.
Well, even if she just has that tie to, like, obviously she's going to have a tie to... To the Stark Industries, so
Rhodey will probably play a key part.
Like Rhodey and Pepper, that'd be cold. That'd be really, really cold.
I think he's likely to be a big mentor to her. To be fair,
yeah.
So yeah. We'll see. Should be interesting. And then lastly, it's probably one of the Marvel projects that people aren't as knowledgeable about or keen. Is Wonder Man, which I'm actually really intrigued by. I don't know much about the character, if I'm very frank and honest. But I'm a big fan of Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. Do you know much about Wonder Man as a character?
Not really, but it was like Marvel's reaction to like Shazam and all of that. So
arguably similar-ish
character. Yeah, yeah. They made a Wonder Man and Adam Warlock to combat thingy DC at that time.
Okay.
Yeah, because Stanley was pissed that he was like, oh well, Superman's like a stupid character because he just can't lose green rock. Yeah, so he was fuming. So, like, he made like a few different iterations of Superman, which happened to be Adam Warlock and obviously Wonder Man. So, but yeah, that's all I know. Too tough. Like, I haven't really read too much about him.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him, but as for Yahya, like, he is a good actor.
Hope he bangs, man.
So I'm relying on the strength of the talent on this.
He's a really good actor.
Really good actor.
Yeah, he's dope.
I saw him recently in the Watchmen series. So fucking good at. And I've seen him in a few other projects. I just can't particularly note them down.
Yeah, one I remember him was...
But yeah, he's going to play Simon Williams, who's a former actor turned superhero. Chronic characters, hero sort of tied to, like, I believe it's around him, sort of the sort of Hollywood-esque actor delve into how he turns into a superhero, which is really interesting. It's something we haven't seen before, either on screen, in terms of the big screen or on television. So yeah, I'm intrigued, but I don't know much about him. So which of these projects are you most intrigued by or anticipating? Jason, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, the most anticipated one for me has to be Daredevil Born Again.
Is that yours? Yeah,
I think that's like, I think that it's for me and for my money probably the best Marvel series, but it's got so much riding on it, man. Like, it's got so much riding on it. Like, the way the
fan base will absolutely riot online.
Yeah, exactly. If this doesn't hit the way it needs to hit, absolutely riot. For TV shows. As for film, maybe...
No, you just pick one.
Okay, just one. Okay, cool. Yeah, then Daredevil Born Again, for sure.
That's a good pick, to be fair to you.
For me, it's either going to be Captain America or Fantastic Four. Okay. I need to pick one. Captain America for the significance of what it stands for, because it is one of the five original Avengers, you know what I'm saying? And then Fantastic Four, because finally we got Marvel that are writing it, you know what I mean, and actually doing it their way. So I think I'm going to go with Fantastic Four just because of some of the secret endings that we've seen, the post credit scenes and that kind of stuff. So that have like teased like a few people in a few like iterations. So yeah, I'm gonna go with F4.
Makes sense. Predictable. Born Again.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on it, a lot of riding on it. Big statements from the showrunner. But I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it. Really excited.
When's the exact release date for it?
Specifically, I can't remember, but it's early March. So we're not even far away from it, really. We will probably ramp up our sort of anticipation for the series. We might be a shout to do like a retrospective revisit of some of those episodes or scenes.
Oh yeah, or episodes, I think we should all rewatch that motherfucker.
Oh yeah.
We can come back in like a month's time before the season releases and do like a retrospective Daredevil episode. We'll fuck off those two because I don't give a shit either.
Yeah.
And we'll make it happen. Cool, perfect stuff. Guys, we've got a few announcements to make, or points to make, shall I say. Firstly, please, if you are on YouTube, which everybody is, make sure you follow the Post Credit Scene podcast. You like some of the content we've got on there, some really good stuff. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you drop a comment. Really, really important. If you like our content, it really does help us if you support us in that manner. We've also got the TikTok and the Instagram Post Credit Scene podcast. Jason manages our letterbox.
Yes,
Post Credit Scene
pod.
So make sure to
PCS
check out
Pod. Make PCS sure you pod. Check that one out.
Jason's gonna be manning that. So if you don't see our letterboxes,
cuss them out.
First, no, don't do that. All right. The first thing you need to do is at these lot, because I can't log anything in if these men don't give me their reviews. How am I supposed to extrapolate?
Extrapolate is nuts. Spell it.
So don't worry. But I will also be held accountable. I'll just be... I'll get onto you lot about that more.
Yes, sir. So...
Any announcements for you before we run?
Now, obviously, like, we're now posting weekly now, which is like a new thing for us. So, you know, that's all because you guys gave us a really beautiful reaction to season 3. So it's like, let's give you some more content, some more vibes. You know, we've got a new team ahead of us and stuff, or just, you know, different roles given. So you'll be seeing kids, hopefully, guys. That is the fourth voice, if you heard.
Oh, yeah. So we're just sticking to three-man pods now. Is that the crack?
No. But I'm just saying
it works.
But I'm just saying no. It definitely works. But like, it's not always gonna be like three-man pods. But I think four's still fine. I think five is a bit much.
Oh, no, fuck
Do you know what I'm saying? But I will give kids a mic every week now. So you know he will. You know,
I will sprinkle my small inputs in.
Yeah,
you can throw in a few little tidbits in
there. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, we are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV, and theatre, and we're over and out.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.